Thursday, January 23rd. First reading from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 25, through chapter 8, verse 6. Jesus is always able to save those who approach God through him, since he lives forever to make intercession for them. It was fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, higher than the heavens. He has no need, as did the high priests, to offer sacrifice day after day, first for his own sins and then for those of the people. He did that once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints men subject to weakness to be high priests, but the word of the oath, which was taken after the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. The main point of what has been said is this: we have such a high priest who has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle that the Lord, not man, set up. Now every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices, thus the necessity for this one also to have something to offer. If then he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are those who offer gifts according to the law. They worship in a copy and shadow of the heavenly sanctuary, as Moses was warned when he was about to erect the tabernacle. For God says, "See that you make everything according to the pattern shown you on the mountain." Now he has obtained so much more excellent a ministry, as he is mediator of a better covenant, enacted on better promises. Haydock Commentary. Christ as man continually makes intercession for us by representing his passion to his Father. Jesus Christ offered himself but once in a bloody manner on the cross, but besides this bloody offering, he still continues to offer himself in an unbloody manner. This he does both in heaven and upon earth. In heaven, by presenting his sacred humanity continually to his Father, and on earth, by daily offering himself under the appearances of bread and wine on our altars. Hence this Eucharistic sacrifice is both a commemoration and continuation of the sacrifice of the cross. To understand this, it must be observed that the essence of a sacrifice includes several actions, the principal of which are the immolation of the victim and the oblation of the victim when immolated. Now the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross ended only as to the bloody immolation. The same victim is still immolated mystically by the separate consecration of the bread and wine, and continues as the oblation. Jesus Christ, in quality of the eternal high priest, has carried his victim, that is his body, into heaven, and there offers it continually to his Father. He continues also his sacrifice here on earth by the ministry of his priests, who to the end of time will offer to God the same immolated victim, present on our altars under the appearance of bread and wine, a sacrifice infinitely perfect, since God is the priest and God is the victim. The chief priest who offers it is a God-man. The victim offered is a man-God. A God the victim offered by a God the priest. Behold a sacrifice truly worthy of God, a sacrifice capable of atoning not only for our sins, but for the sins of 10,000 worlds. What confidence then ought Christians to have in such a sacrifice? How solicitous ought they to be to assist daily at these tremendous mysteries? Christ is minister of the holy places and of the true tabernacle. St. Paul adds "true" to signify that though he speaks with an allusion to the sanctuary and the priests of the former law, yet Christ has now entered into the true Holy of Holies, that is, into heaven, of which the Jewish sanctuary was only a type or figure. A sanctuary set up by the Lord and not man, that is, all of the Jewish sanctuary was the work of men's hands, but heaven, the habitation prepared for the saints, is the work of God. The Old Testament was a figure of the New, but the tabernacle of Moses and the Temple of Solomon were in particular an image and figure of the Christian Church. The Church triumphant in heaven is the true sanctuary. The Church militant on earth is the true tabernacle, and Jesus Christ is the sovereign priest of both the one and the other, and exercises his priesthood both in heaven and upon earth. As all priests are ordained to offer up to God some gifts and sacrifices, so Christ, a priest forever, has now in heaven something to offer to his eternal Father, to wit, the infinite merits and satisfactions of his death and passion. This he does in heaven, and also by the ministry of his priests on earth, who offer the same in his name. This is the daily sacrifice of Christians foretold plainly by Malachi. It is also clearly mentioned in the works of St. Justin Martyr, Tertullian, St. Irenaeus, St. Cyprian, Eusebius, St. John Chrysostom, St. Augustine, and many other of the fathers. The Council of Trent has defined the Mass to be not merely a commemorative and representative sacrifice, but a true and real offering of a victim, really present, and actually offered to God by the priest. Christ the Messiah being come, hath ordained a more excellent ministry and priesthood, being the great mediator betwixt God and man of a better and more excellent testament, accompanied with greater graces and blessings, and established with better and more ample promises, not of temporal blessings as the former, but of eternal happiness. The Gospel from Mark chapter 3, verses 7 through 12. Jesus withdrew toward the sea with his disciples. A large number of people followed from Galilee and from Judea. Hearing what he was doing, a large number of people came to him also from Jerusalem, from Idumea, from beyond the Jordan, and from the neighborhood of Tyre and Sidon. He told his disciples to have a boat ready for him because of the crowd, so that they would not crush him. He had cured many, and as a result, those who had diseases were pressing upon him to touch him. And whenever unclean spirits saw him, they would fall down before him and shout, "You are the Son of God." He warned them sternly not to make him known. Haydock Commentary. The unclean spirits, being obliged by the divine power not only to come and worship, but also to declare his majesty, exclaimed, "Thou art the Son of God." How astonishing then is the blindness of the Arians, who, even after his resurrection, denied him to be the Son of God, whom the devils confessed as such when clothed with human nature. But it is certain that not only the devils, but the infirm that were healed, and the apostles themselves were forbidden, as well as the unclean spirits, to proclaim his divinity, lest the passion and death of Christ might be on that account deferred.